Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod. Joining us today in our studio on the south side of Alamosa is Eric Trinan. He's the emergency manager for Alamosa County. And Frank Worth, he's the Alamosa Fire Chief. We're going to talk about wildfire season here in the San Luis Valley. Been rather dry. It's good to see you, Eric. Good to see you, Chief.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having us.
I want to get going about drought conditions, Eric. I mean, we all know it's been a dry winter. I want to let you set the table there and give us a sense from Alamosa County Emergency Management what you're seeing, and then we're going to talk to the chief about it all.
Absolutely. Chris, the reason we, Frank and I, kind of talked and wanted to get out and get information out to the public is I was sitting on a National Weather Service forecasting for the region.
Yeah.
And they had, in this presentation, they talked about this is one of the driest, if not the driest, winter that we've had on record.
Yeah.
For our Rio Grande Basin. And this is going off the Snowtell weather sensors. With that being said, they have records back to 1981, with 1986 being their real good data points.
Yeah.
And we are well below those numbers.
Well below.
And with no moisture, increases our dryness of our vegetation, our grounds, everything is dry. And it's scary. It is scary out there.
Well, and you guys have already been out several times, Chief and Eric, that I've seen just in the last few weeks, putting out brush fires, dealing with the dryness. I've seen you out there already.
Yeah, myself and Eric have responded to a couple calls already in the valley, in Alamosa County, a lot of it is inherent to the dry conditions, and then also the weather, and this time of year when the wind picks up and all of a sudden, you know, there's a fire. In talking with our partners at the federal and state level, as Eric had said, the conditions are ripe for fires. We've had a couple incidents where people are just burning yard waste, and all of a sudden, you know, it's calm, but then all of a sudden the fire just takes off and it quickly becomes uncontrollable. And then they got to call us.
Yeah, I saw one out off of East Alamosa, or just beyond going towards Mosca recently, and I saw everyone out there. I want to ask you, and we're going to get into this. What, though, is the best advice that you give now to homeowners, to property owners, to individuals? What's give us some advice on how to handle the dryness, what we're talking about, the potential for wild. What is the best advice you're given now?
I think the first question is, do I really need to burn today? And if you do need to burn, I know that, you know, the farmers, they have to burn the ditches out. Completely understandable. The one thing that we ask is, if you are going to burn, is that you plan your burnout for the day. And actually, you know, what is going to be the conditions, the weather conditions? Try to keep the fire at least, you know, or have a clear area of 50 feet around structures, because we don't want a structure fire. You know, that's a big property loss. Keep the fire small, if at all possible. Keep them manageable. But as I said earlier, these fires can quickly get large. So just be aware of that. Make sure you have water on hand or some means of controlling the fire. Make sure somebody is keeping an eye on the fire. We really don't want the kids keeping an eye on a fire. That's not, you know, being attentive. It should be an adult that's actually keeping an eye on things. And contact Colorado State Dispatch, State Patrol Dispatch, and let them know that you're doing a controlled burn. And their number is 719-589-5807.
So that's being, Chief, really proactive to what you said there at the end, to alert or to notify state wildfire here before you go out, burn some grass, burn whatever you need to do when you're out there. That's a good tip. I hadn't heard that one before, but that's a really smart tip to call ahead to say, hey, I'm going to do this in case something happens.
Because one thing we notice in the valley is there are a lot of people that are fire conscious, so they do call dispatch. And if we are aware that there's a controlled burn in that area, that's good information to have.
Give us some more on the conditions themselves in terms of the grass, the fuels, everything around that is making this season more scary maybe than what you've had to deal with recently.
Sure. With the drought conditions, they have what is considered 1 hour, 50 hour, and 100 hour fuels. And that is really depending on the size of the log or the grass or whatever. And they go and measure the amount of moisture within these fuels. And they are at an all-time low, which means they are going to burn quicker. They're going to burn hotter. And they're going to be less resistant to any kind of heat or fire that's going to be presented to it. So that creates a harder job for us as fire to be able to go and put that out, which also means those fires that are going to be typically smaller are going to spread that much quicker, and the flame lengths are going to be longer.
Is Alamosa County Chief, and Eric, I'm not sure myself, is Alamosa County right now under any fire restrictions itself? I do know Conejos, Costilla County have been putting some fire restrictions in place, but I wasn't sure yet if Alamosa County's taken that step or if you're thinking about that.
So right now, until Sheriff has determined that there is no fire restriction unless we are in a red flag condition day. Gotcha. National Weather Service is the one that determines if we're in a red flag. So we set a resolution many years ago that as soon as we are in red flag conditions, then we are in a fire ban.
So what is, explain that when we say that, when we see a red fire alert conditions today, tomorrow, whatever that is, and then you automatically, that triggers a fire ban. Explain that to me. I'm thinking outdoor fires. Give me that sense.
Sure. So any self burning, whether it's burn piles, agricultural burning, all of that is
you shouldn't do it that day.
No, you shouldn't do it that day. Likewise, you need to be very considerate of your fire pits. They need to be within a commercial ring. You can't just have a hole in the ground and burn. You need to make sure that you are smoking cigarettes or whatever in around a concrete or asphalt non-combustible area that's within 10 feet of you.
Yeah.
No open flames for welding or the like.
Interesting. I mean, all that makes sense. I just don't, when I hear the red alert and I see them, I don't myself automatically equate it to what you just described, Eric, even on welding. That's an interesting, Chief, in a summer like this, in a spring like this, in a year like this that you're seeing, things can get out of control fast, right?
Very quickly.
Give us some more context about what people should be doing, what they should be expecting, and how. I've been really impressed at how fast you guys respond.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that to us, because you talked about the state fire department that's here. Yeah. But I've just been really impressed at how quickly you guys get out there. And walk us through that.
So when we get a call for any type of fire, we do have two engines that are located here that are part of the Colorado Division of Fire Prevention and Control, and they respond automatic aid with us. But that's if they're here. They may be deployed throughout the state, you know. And that's only during the daytime hours. When we get that response, they respond immediately. Our apparatus then responds also for wildland fires. We have 4 brush trucks, a tender, 2 bumpers, and we respond with that equipment. And that basically, you know, when we get to a fire, it's basically go to the anchor point, go to the flanks, and then pinch off the fire and get it knocked down and put out. So that's what we're looking at.
Eric, when you were talking about the red flag days and then the natural things that happen to there in terms of bans, what makes or who makes the decision to go into a different stage 2, stage 3 restrictions, which are more intense? How does that occur, and are we anticipating that in a year like this?
For unincorporated Alamosa County, Sheriff Jackson has that authority to do a more restrictive fire ban. And I'll kind of run those over real quick. It is no campfires at all, even in developed sites. Charcoal grills and open flames are prohibited. Only certain fuel-based stoves are allowed. Additional limits on equipment and activities. And the goal is to prevent any spark when fire danger is extreme.
You know, the other thing that we have around here a lot is the forest, right? And we have a lot of people that will be out in the forest, springtime, summertime, camping, hunting, fishing, what have you. What's the recommendations, advice for people that go out into the high country, into the mountains, into the outdoors during this type of season? What would you be telling people?
I know I would, again, go back to make a plan. Make sure to check the weather. Make sure that there are no fire bans in place in any of the national state forests or parks. And make sure that if you are allowed to start a campfire, make sure it's inside of a metal or a stone pit, and that when you're finished, it is completely extinguished.
The other thing that I wonder about when we go forward, because we're also anticipating a very intensive El Nino season that could bring moisture in addition to warmth. And I wonder about lightning strikes, because that is one of the leading causes, if I'm for wildfires, that can spark a wildfire. And I don't know that there's anything really we can do about that, but be aware, be conscious.
Absolutely. And we know just over this last hunting season, we lost hunters to lightning. Yeah. Lightning is very dangerous for us to be in our backcountry. When, and again, to go to your point, when we're out in the Forest Service, have a plan and make sure that your family that is not going with you knows where you're at, where you're going, and when you're expected to be home.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Hey, we're going to keep talking to Eric Treenan and Frank Worth. We're talking about the wildfire season that we're in. This is the Valley Pod. We'll be right back.
Looking for the freshest food in the Valley? Introducing the new SLB Local Foods Directory, where you can meet your neighbors and eat better. From colorful potatoes and crisp greens to farm-fresh eggs, dairy, and meat, find exactly who grows your food right here in the Valley. Support local, eat fresh, and strengthen our community. Are you a local farmer or producer? Add your information. Visit alamosacitizen.com today and discover the freshest food from the heart of the Valley.
Hey, we're back. This is the Valley Pod. We're talking to Eric Treenan. We're talking to Frank Worth. They're in wildfire season, very nervous about this year's rest of spring, summer 2026. Before we go back there, I want to ask the chief a little bit more about you, because you're less than a year or a year. Give us your time here in Alamosa.
I arrived here the last week of March last year.
Okay, so happy anniversary, 1 year.
Yeah, thank you very much. And it's been a great time, and I enjoy it. I do have a little bit of background on this area of the nation.
Give us some background on where you came from.
So I was originally from Pennsylvania, and happened to see the job posting for here. And my experience has been, I started in the fire service in Pennsylvania, but I was also stationed in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So I would travel to northern New Mexico quite often, fishing and stuff like that. I enjoyed that. And so I have a little bit of a feel for the area. And when I saw the job opening, I was like, yeah, I'm going to apply for this. This is great. And I really wanted to apply, the lessons I've learned over the years and my experience and knowledge and bring it out west and, continue on, with my career.
As you stepped into this role and have worked over the past year, what are the things other than the intensity of the wildfire season this year and the concerns there, what are the other things that have struck you in the time you've been here as the fire chief?
So when I was younger, there was a lot of sense of community still. I started in a small rural department in Pennsylvania. So when I got here, it was like, wow, this is like 40 years ago, when I was back home, you know, we had a, you know, there's a very strong sense of community here, which is absolutely fabulous. You know, people care, they care about their neighbors and, care about, you know, from a fire department aspect, care about providing the service to the community.
How common or uncommon in your experience, Chief, is it to see the mutual aid that you see when it comes to fire response here in the Valley with all, not just Alamosa, City of Alamosa Fire, but I mean, you have responsibility out in Alamosa County. You have all the fire, volunteer fire departments around. You have state fire. How unusual or how common is that to see that co-command or that co-response structure?
This is actually a little bit more, the individual departments take care of their areas, but they are very receptive to automatic aid and mutual aid. Where I started out in Pennsylvania, there was a lot of automatic aid. All departments responded together on a lot of calls because it basically boils down to our issues with staffing and making sure we have enough folks to handle the emergency at hand.
When you think again of what we're talking about, wildfire season, think of the environment that we're in here in the San Luis Valley versus where you came from, Pennsylvania's very woody area.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine somewhat similar. What are the comparisons for you and where you were, where you are now, and any adjustments or any thoughts you have about what you're protecting here in the Valley versus what you protected before?
This is, I have had to get up to speed on the wildland fire aspects of things. And I've been taking training, attended the basic training and some more advanced training concerning wildland. And it's funny because back east in my home county, the fire department actually, they did have a wildfire that exceeded 1,000 acres. That's the first time in my 40 years in the fire service that ever happened back there. Here, that's part of the environment. And I'm just learning as much as I can, and I, you know, greatly appreciate everybody that's helped me out.
So. Yeah, really good to have you here. And it, again, really, I mean, you guys really move fast when I'm seeing fires and I'm seeing engines. Tell us about the city of Alamosa and where it's at with this topic, wildfire, what it does, and then the city in general with its fire codes.
The Alamosa Fire Department is very centric on structural firefighting and wildland firefighting. And so that's sort of the focus of the training with folks. From a fire inspection aspect, I'm sort of it. I'm a one-man shop as it relates to that. So I interpret the fire code, I do consultations, I do fire inspections, and I feel very strongly that the prevention side of it is really, really important. Even though we don't get to see necessarily, oh yeah, we prevented that fire. We don't see that, we don't see those, but we see that usually in long-term trends, you know, as it relates to statistics.
You know, I have an outdoor fire pit in my backyard, and I had a fire going the other night, and I was nervous. Actually, I was like, should I do this? Should I, as a homeowner in the city of Alamosa, in the conditions? And this was in March when we had a lot of heat in March, but I was in my backyard, Eric, and I do have a fire pit, and I did start a fire, and I roasted some marshmallows with my granddaughter, but I thought about it and I was a little nervous if I should do that. What's the advice that you would give people like me that just have a recreational fire pit in their backyard for aesthetics, for whatever, in this type of year?
And the city of Alamosa does have an open burn ban. That's 365, you know, 52 weeks out of the year. That's in effect.
So are you saying I violated that with my fire pit that has a cover over it or little fire? I mean, you can tell me if I violated it.
No, you didn't violate it. There is exceptions. And that is basically any type of grills or charcoal grills, you're allowed to have those. And also any type of fire pit that is no more than 1 foot in height, 2 feet wide, 8 feet long.
Okay, I think I'm good.
And it's got to be commercially produced.
Yeah, I stayed out there late to make sure. But I was nervous. What else can we do as homeowners, as property owners, to mitigate or to be thinking about the year we're in and wildfire ideas?
Yeah, absolutely. I think mitigation is not just this year, but going forward, we need to look at our properties in our home. We really need to make sure that we don't have any combustible materials within 5 feet of our home. I know that's a pain, because a lot of people burn firewood and they stack it right up next to the house because it's nice and convenient to get to. But that can create an issue if we do have any kind of ember that sparks up and gets close to your house. That includes mowing our grass. Make sure our grass and everything that is combustible is 5 feet away from our structures. We do not want any of that potential burn to get up into our home. So landscaping rock or even just straight dirt is better than having any kind of the weeds or grasses growing right up into our house. Yes, we need to look at our trees, making sure that our trees are trimmed off the ground, because we don't, what we call is laddering fuels, where the grasses are going to burn underneath, catches the branches, and then branch all the way up. And then we have a full tree on fire. And if that's close to our house too, then that heat is going to radiate and then catch our house on fire. So we need to make sure that everything around our house is protecting that investment, where you live, where your family is at, where your kids are sleeping.
Yeah, really good advice. And again, I mean, as a homeowner, I'm thinking with this season. Owen, what do you got?
I was just curious about how you all prepare for the event of evacuations. I know there was just a fire up north that called for voluntary evacuations, but I was also thinking just recently in Nebraska of, you know, millions of people being kind of in confused places. So I'm just curious how you prepare for evacuations, and then how you disseminate that information out to the public, because, you know, a lot of people don't have Facebook or phones. How do you get that to as many people as you possibly can?
Thank you, Owen. So the big thing is we figure out where that fire is going to trend to. Where is it going to go? And then we're going to start having pre-evacuation and evacuation. With that, we do have two separate systems. We have our Everbridge, which is typically known as our reverse 911, and that is an opt-in. And so we need to make sure that everyone goes to slve911.colorado.gov to sign up for that. And it's really sad to say, but we have like 9% of the valley signed up on it.
That's an interesting statistic there, Eric, that you only have 9% of the valley set up to receive those reverse alerts is what you get. Because yes. I have them. I get them.
And so with that, you can sign up your business, your work, your family. Where you're at, you'll get those notifications. The other system that we have is what is considered an IPAWS. It is a direct system that goes directly to your cell phone within a geographic area. So that is a FEMA program that we have here locally through our dispatch center that Chief, myself, and Sheriff Jackson and Chief Dingfelder, we have the authority to send a message directly to a cell phone within a geographic area. And so with that being said, we will draw on the map and we'll say, you know, this is our evacuation area. Please go to wherever we decide as an evacuation center.
Are those alerts that you just talked about, are those pushed to cell phone holders, or do you have to sign up for that like you do the bridge system?
So the Everbridge is the opt-in. The IPAWS is a push.
So they push that to you if you're in that, if you need to know.
Correct. This is similar to an Amber Alert type of system. The only thing is, all cell phones are automatically turned on. However, individual users get tired of the Amber Alert or whatever, that messaging, and they've turned that off. And so it's highly, there's not many messages that go out. Please turn it back on.
Yeah.
This is for your safety. And then to go get into Owen's other point about, now if they don't have a cell phone or Facebook or anything else, we with the sheriff's office or other responders, we'll go door to door to those homes. If we can't get to you, that's a problem. So make sure that your egress and ingress into your property is capable for us to reach you. If it is totally wooded and covered and we can't get to you, we're going to have to go to the next house. We have to do what's best for the most number of people. We can't be concerned about that one individual who has not made it possible for us to help them.
Talk a little bit too, Eric, about, I mentioned it with the chief, and that is the co-responder system here in the Valley, because for me, that's one of the more impressive things that I've been watching or witnessing or seeing, is how all of you emergency management teams in each of the different counties of the Valley work together, meet together, train together, talk to each other, figure things out together. Talk a little bit about that, because that's an impressive, it's what I talked about earlier. I think that's a good thing.
So our seven counties, we're including Hinsdale County, in our San Luis Valley region, we have a San Luis Valley Emergency Managers group, and we meet every Monday and then quarterly as well for a full day. We go over all of these things, our plans, our processes, our procedures, how to be more better prepared for our community and help our community better prepared for whatever the problem is that we have, whether it be flood. We probably won't have a flood this year, but we'll talk about floods. We'll talk about wildfires. We'll talk about one of my biggest concerns is a widespread power outage. We talk about all these things and how we can help our communities be better prepared.
Well, and that's that point right there on the idea of a power outage. We are seeing pretty much every day the power companies issuing alerts to customers saying, we may have to cut your power today as a preventive measure against wildfire, Chief. We're seeing that up and down the Front Range in particular. Anything there you want to note about how that happens or what people should be aware of when it comes to a power outage?
Well, I think the power companies are trying to be proactive, especially when bad weather comes in. That they can prevent a wildfire from occurring, because that was the cause of several very large noted fires in California. So I feel myself personally, I think XL is doing a very good job of actually being out there, actually interacting with us emergency responders and trying to prevent wildfires from occurring. So.
But that's another thing that people have to be conscious of.
Yes.
That it may be a red flag day to day. There may be a wildfire in our neighborhood. I may lose power proactively as a result of that, because they're trying to mitigate that potential, right?
Absolutely. So I also want to say San Luis Valley Rural Electric, they also have their mitigation strategies as well. We were on a meeting, probably 18 months ago, a year ago, to talk and discuss their preventative measures as well. So they've got good, solid plans. They are very concerned about fire. And I hate to say it, but yes, sometimes you may have to be a little inconvenienced by losing your power for a short amount of time to have power for the long eternity.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting, going to be an interesting spring, interesting summer. We want to hope everything is safe out there, but we do appreciate all the work that you guys are doing in this, what looks like to be a really interesting or intensive, potentially wildfire season. Give us some perspective there before we let you go on what you're seeing compared to past years, Eric, because you've been around, you've seen this.
Yeah, I've been with Alamosa Fire for over 20 years now, and we used to have a fire season. We used to know end of April through August was our fire season. Now the fire season is January 1 to December 31st. We don't have a conventional season anymore. We are seeing, especially this year, we are seeing more active fires earlier. We responded to Costilla County and their Chama Canyon fire, and we should never have seen the fire behavior as active as it was. It was just, we've had a very warm March and very dry. And again, that fire started with a control burn. The winds kicked up. The one thing that I think we didn't mention is we here locally know our weather. We know in the mornings we've got cool, calm mornings. At about 11 o'clock is when our winds kick up. So if you are planning to do that burn, do it right early. Get it, and so that way it can get burned and we can have an opportunity to have it out before the winds kick up.
You know, we've had a lot of good advice, good recommendations from both of you this morning. I want to kind of go through that really quickly because you said a couple interesting things I think are worth repeating. One is alert fire command, alert State Patrol 911 before you go out and do your morning work, before you do your morning burn, just to let them know you're out there, right? Be aware of, for property owners, even like myself, be aware of these conditions and be aware of the idea that you might lose power today and be prepared for that. Chief, what else do you want to add to that list?
The phone number for dispatch again is 719-589-5807. And being a new guy to the Valley, having experienced the Chama Canyon fire, I was on that call. Yes, I completely agree with Eric that the conditions are ripe, and it's just amazing how quickly the fires and their intensity were this year. Even though I have not experienced it in the past because I'm new, it is amazing how quickly things get out of control.
And coming from you that's been here a year and you witnessing that and being able to articulate that, that's interesting that you note that fast, that this is a dangerous season we're headed into.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Hey, we really appreciate both of you coming in, talking to us about the wildfire season and what to do ahead. You've been listening to The Valley Pod on our episode with Eric Trinan and Alamosa Fire Chief Frank Worth. We're talking about wildfires in 2026. Be aware. Valley Pod is produced by Owen Woods as part of the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. See you around the valley.
Hi, I'm Marty Jones, host of the Outdoor Citizen podcast. Join us every other Wednesday as we talk to outdoor enthusiasts, wildlife experts, recreationists, lovers of the outdoors, and people who spend their days and their lives outside. On The Outdoor Citizen, we talk all things outside and outdoors, provide you with the latest data and measurements for water and weather, give you upcoming outdoor events, and keep you up to date on the latest news. The Outdoor Citizen is brought to you by the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, enjoy the out of doors.